Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, James Sexton is a listener to the programme. James got in touch with us. You might explain the position that you're in at the moment, James, to listeners.
Hi, Andrea. Hello, nice to talk to you. The position is my wife and I, we're both in our mid-50s, and we've recently given some thought to our wills. And we believe that we're being discriminated against as we don't have children. And we also believe that this discrimination applies to all single people without children in terms of the current inheritance tax thresholds.
Now, I know those thresholds changed or will change after the budget yesterday, but you were getting in touch aside from that, nothing to do with the budget. So explain what it is that you want to do, James.
Yeah, well, the thresholds increased yesterday. And if I just very, very briefly just explain maybe to your listeners the thresholds, they're split into three separate categories. And the first category A, a child can inherit tax-free a whopping now $400,000 from their parents. And in group B, a brother or sister or nephew or niece can inherit up to $40,000. And group C, the threshold has increased to $20,000 for all other groups. Now, the situation that myself and my wife are faced with, we have a number of nephews and nieces, and the maximum amount of inheritance that each could receive tax-free as of yesterday is now $40,000. However, if we had children, each child would be able to inherit up to $400,000. And we strongly feel that we should be able to pass the same amount of monetary assets to our family members as would be the case if we had our own children. And it seems to us that the current inheritance tax rules are unfair and discriminatory against couples and single people who do not have children. Mm.
Because in your case, you know, as you say, yourself and your wife have been, you know, thinking about your will. And I know any good solicitor would say everybody of any age with an asset should do that.
Absolutely.
So you've been thinking about that. And, you know, maybe if one or two favourite nieces or nephews or whoever it is that you'd...
Well, we don't have any favourites, but...
you're very diplomatic, James.
Yeah. We do have a number of... My wife has nephews and nieces, as do I. And I suppose, Andrea, there is a misconception that this tax only applies to perhaps the super rich or the wealthy. But in reality, any couple or person who doesn't have children and perhaps their only asset is the house that they've worked so hard for and paid taxes on during their lifetime, they will be affected. And these, you know, people like that do not consider themselves wealthy. They simply have an asset which they would like to pass on to their loved ones when they are deceased. And obviously, we all know how difficult it is nowadays for young people to even be able to afford to buy a house. And, you know, in our situation, myself and my wife have both worked hard. I'm a teacher. I run a small after-school education centre here in Bishopstown, if you don't mind me putting in the plug.
Of course, yeah, work away.
Helping primary school kids with Irish, English and maths. And my wife is an accountant. So we're not super rich. We have worked hard, but we are paying our taxes, obviously on our incomes, and we feel that we should be able to pass on the same amount of monetary assets to our loved ones as parents.
We'll say, for the sake of argument, your house, the estate, we'll say is valued at about €300,000, right? And you want to leave that now to a couple of nieces and nephews. So as of the budget yesterday, you'll be able to leave each of them up to €40,000 tax-free. And beyond that, they'll... So it's not you that's going to be penalised. It's the niece and nephew that, I suppose, is gifted the gift.
Yeah. Exactly, which is a nice windfall for the person concerned, obviously our nephews and nieces. But for example, Andrea, I have a very good friend of mine, and her name is Laura, and she owns her own house, and she's paid off her mortgage over the last 30 years, and she's paid all her taxes during her lifetime, and she reckons her house is worth approximately $400,000. Now, she doesn't consider herself to be rich, and this is her single most important asset. She doesn't have any children, but she does have one niece, And that niece is like a daughter to her and helps her out in so many ways. And she would like to be able for Marie to inherit her home when she passes away. Now, if she does pass away tomorrow, Marie, her niece, would have to pay $118,800 in tax. And she would be expected to pay that tax bill within 12 months of Laura passing away. And how would she possibly be able even to do that?
She should have, like, to sell the house.
She would. Laura's home would have to be sold by her niece to pay the tax bill. And it was always Laura's hope that her home would remain within the family and occupied by Marie after her passing. Mm. But if Marie was Laura's daughter, the situation wouldn't arise at all. There would be absolutely no inheritance tax bill to pay.
Bridget is with us on the line. Jim, stay with me if you don't mind, because a couple of other callers. Bridget, do you agree with James on this? Are single people being discriminated against?
I do fully. Every bit of what he says is correct. We've had an opportunity to possibly reconfigure the whole tax situation in inheritance tax for this budget that has been missed. And we're in a situation again where we have, the thresholds have gone up a little bit. And my particular interest is in category C, the single person. And the single person who may or may not have nieces and nephews, it would be ridiculous to assume that just because you have a niece or a nephew, therefore your asset has to go to the niece or the nephew. It could go to a good friend, a friend or supporter that may have been in the lifetime for a very long time. Mm. And if the single person decides to give to that friend, first of all, is known as a stranger in law, which is a very unusual term to use. And really, I see that this structure of the inheritance tax is contrary to our civil rights and all these equal status acts which we have in the country, and we have a constitution to protect our equality. And here we have a situation where there's category C. A single person is penalised for being single when it comes to the beneficiary.
Well, you can give it to you can give up to 20,000, isn't that right, to a friend, basically?
You can give up to 20, but why not even exclude the principal private residence from this tax?
Okay.
And either reinvent and reconfigure how the rest of it is accounted for. But if a single person has a friend and wants to give their house, and the example was the 300,000 value, and that sort of valuation can be all over the country. It's not just a wealthy city.
No, absolutely not. So people living in less affluent areas of Dublin they're living in a house worth 350,000 at the bare minimum.
Yes. And it's very likely that it would happen that the legacy of the single person is actually wiped out, because the beneficiary would have to sell in order to pay the tax.
Jean Cashman is with us as well, Bridget. Stay on the line. Jean's a registered tax consultant. Jean, you've been listening to Bridget and James.
I have.
Are they right?
They are both absolutely correct. This tax is now completely out of date. It focuses on the family when everything in Ireland has changed. Bridges is right that, I had proposed to the politicians before the budget that we have an exemption for the principal private residence in the capital gains tax legislation. And I proposed that that could be transferred into cash so that everyone would be entitled to give their principal private residence to anyone they wish to. It would be an exemption. The thresholds would be preserved, although Bridget is absolutely right. They're so completely out of date. It's just criminal. But if that, then everyone would be able to leave the home to whoever they wished. Like, it's so arbitrary. Like, at this stage, it's almost a mongrel of a tax. I went to a public meeting on the question recently, and there were some incredibly interesting examples that people told. Like, one woman, you know, she's single, she has a home, she has a godchild. Her godchild is a stranger in blood. And just to clarify that, a cousin is a stranger in blood because they don't fit into category two.
Category two, just to clarify, Jean, for people, is if I wanted to leave my house to my sister or in turn a niece or nephew, I can leave them that tax-free.
Or a linear descendant. But anyone that doesn't fall into category one or category two automatically is in category
three. Is that grandchildren
three.
As well, out of curiosity?
No, grandchildren would be in two. Because they're a lineal descendant.
So grandchildren are in category two. But if you want to leave category to a friend two. Or a colleague or your favourite club.
Godchild.
We were only talking about them earlier. You can now leave up to 12. But the thing is, like, and this is the point being made by some of the texters, Jean, that is still an asset that person didn't previously have. Like, they're, you know, not to be crass about it, but they're still going to benefit in some way, irrespective of having paid the tax.
I know. And we can't flatten everything. And I know there are people without homes. But it's too focused on the family when we have moved on in so many ways.
But the family means something very different in Ireland now.
It does, exactly. The family, the Class A, in fairness, was extended to include stepchildren and foster children. And this lady at the meeting was making the point, you know, I can foster a child and get the 400 grand exemption, but my godchild is stuck in the stranger category. Like, somebody needs to take it, have a really proper look at it. And arrive at a new formula. Mm. I mean, the capital gains tax exemption for the principal private residence has been in place since 1976. Now, revenue have never found the need to get rid of it or to mess with it because ordinary people just have their home.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't buy a million dollar, a million pound home just to wipe the eye of the tax man.
James is still with us, Jean. Have you any direct advice for James? He's on the line there.
Really no way around it because he doesn't have children. So arbitrarily, he has been told that he just, unless he has a niece or a nephew, you know, he is very, very stuck. I mean, there's another point to make that almost 60% of the tax take for CAT is taken from Dublin people. Because that's the property values are higher in Dublin. Fiona Redden, a couple of weeks ago in the Irish Times, wrote a brilliant article. You know, so the tax take, 53% of the people who pay cash are Dublin people. Now, we also have the business relief and the agriculture relief, and nobody would dispute those reliefs. They're very valuable and very necessary. But it's the ordinary people in the middle who have smaller families, who are worried about how children will manage when they're gone, as in that example. You know, it's just wrong. And if somebody needs, if there's no tinkering at the threshold, which if it had kept pace should be up at 700,000, tinkering with the thresholds is not the answer because you're not looking at Irish people, how they operate.
No, well, it's the definition, I suppose, of the threshold that is the problem for James and Bridget. Hang on, we've got Rose with us on the line. What's your query, Rose?
Hi there. I suppose I have a very real question coming at me very closely. I'm the recipient. My dad passed away in May 23, and I'm an only child, so I fall into the category A or one threshold. So up to yesterday, this is my question. I was looking at a tax bill of about 26,000-27,000, taking into account the value of his property and any savings he had. So, you know, that was my tax bill. But now that the threshold has increased from what was 335,000 up to 400,000, effectively my tax bill would have gone down to just $5,000 about. So there's about 21,000 in the difference within a day. So I suppose my question is, when does that, like, is it from today or from the 1st of October, or the fact that he passed away in May 23? When do they?
When does that kick in, Jean?
Yeah.
It kicks in May 23 because the rules apply at the date of the inheritance. And her dad, when he died, that is the date of the inheritance. The valuation date, when the clock starts ticking, would be when she received the benefit or potentially could receive the benefit. So the law applies and the rules applies at the date of the gift or the date of the inheritance. So unfortunately, she will not benefit from this change.
But an awful lot of that is probably, I imagine, tied up in probate.
Yes, but that's why, you know, the date of the inheritance doesn't start any tax clock. The date of the inheritance is when you apply the rules. So when her dad died in May 23, the rules at that date are what apply.
Oh, God.
The valuation date, when the liability comes to fruition, is when the valuation date, like, there can be several valuation dates in an estate. Like, say she was living in the house that her father owned, the valuation date would be the date of death. But his savings, where it all had to go to probate and his debts and his tax and everything had to be cleared, might not arrive for a year. Like, probate can take up to a year.
So it's not the rules on the day that it's sorted, it's the rules on the day you pass.
No, it's the rules, the date of the inheritance or the date of the gift. And the date of the inheritance for her dad is the date he died.
That's not what you want to hear, Rose.
No, so the change in the band means nothing to me. Okay, thank you for that.
No, I know that's not what you want to hear, Rose. And it's an awful stress on people. I know people would say, "Oh, but you know, you're inheriting something you didn't have," but particularly something that's a family home. Like, often people won't want to get rid of that and sell that. And God knows what they'd have to do now to try and meet this.
Well, I actually think it's a bit.
Sorry, Rose. Go on ahead, Rose.
No, it's just like that other caller mentioned. It's just that you're kind of forced into possibly selling the home to pay the tax bill.
And that's the last thing you want to do.
I know.
Let me bring in Rowena. Rowena is with us on the line. Rowena Quinn is the managing partner at Hunter's Estate Agent. So some changes announced on this, Rowena, in the budget yesterday. Like, Jean talked about the inheritance tax threshold. Are you dealing with much of this now in calls today from people affected?
We're dealing with people who, I suppose, are affected in terms of they have gone sale agreed on a property that's in excess of 1.5 million and overnight their stamp duty bill has changed.
This is the mansion tax.
Yes, exactly. That's the greatest volume of calls we've had today. So anybody who's had agreed to purchase a property at 2 million, their stamp duty bill has gone up by 20,000. And that's possibly money that they have put to one side to do up a property, or possibly money they don't have. So that has come as quite a shock across the board to jump so great. The stamp duty above 1 million was 2%. Since midnight last night, above 1.5 million, it's 6%. So it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but I imagine if you're able to buy a 2 million euro house, is there much sympathy, Rowena, for people today in that position?
Well, there are, no matter what, how much money you have, you always have a budget. And there's not a lot of sympathy. I think it's more the shocking. And if we've got to remember that up to a number of years ago, we were paying stamp duty of 9%. I think the fact is that it's a shock for those who went sale agreed, had planned their budget, had planned the funds to do up a property, overnight they just got to find extra funds. That's the shock more than anything else.
That's the issue.
But in time,
yeah.
Now, you know, the Exchequer will gain circa 80 to 100 million. It will be put to good use. The argument, yes, you are right, possibly somebody who can afford to buy a house north of 1.5 million, they can afford that extra 10, 20, 30,000, whatever it is. It's been called a wealth tax. But what we've got to remember is there are a lot of houses in Dublin where, you know, the median house price in Dublin last year was 703,000. There are quite a number of properties transacting north of 1.5.
You see, there's people living in these properties accidentally. You know, maybe they bought them years and years ago, and just by virtue of the fact that that area they're in is now, you know, a very affluent part of the
absolutely.
Capital.
There, you know, there's one particular area close by to one of our offices where they bought for, you know, 4,000 in 1970, and that same property is now worth 1.4.
Okay. James, just finally, I suppose we haven't found a solution for you today.
No, you haven't. But I think that the current situation can only be described as madness.
Well, there you go. James Sexton, thanks a million, James, for joining us in the programme. Jean Cashman there, registered tax consultant. Rowena Quinn is the managing partner at Hunter's Estate Agent. And Rose and Bridget, thanks a million for sharing your stories with us as well. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.